Hello, this is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing and founder of the Genius Network interview series, and you're about to hear one of my Genius Network interviews, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this, and I hope you find it very useful. If you want to find out more information about some of the interviews and resources that can help you in your business, you can go to www.joepolish.com. And we have a Joe Polish Recommends section with all kinds of resources and vendors and services and products that we recommend that can help you in your business. And also for more useful interviews and a whole list of other people that I've interviewed, you can go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks and enjoy the interview.
Hello, this is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing, and I've got Mr. Alex Mandozian and our good friend and interview subject today, Mr. T. Harv Eker, on the line. We're on the phone. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. Well, me and Alex are going to interview you today, Harv, and I, we're all friends. We've recently gotten together several times. We've got a lot of great things that I want to talk about today during this Genius Network interview. It is a privilege to have you on the line for me and Alex to interview you, so I want to thank you up front for this. And secondly, I just want to read a quick bio of who you are, and anything that I leave out or don't say, please add to it. And I just want the audience to know, if they don't know who this individual is already, who we're going to be interviewing today. T. Harv Eker is the author of Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, which is a phenomenon in the publishing industry, hitting the number one on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestseller list, and several other national lists. In its very first week, it went on sale. Harv is president of Peak Potential Training, one of the fastest-growing personal success training companies in North America. He regularly fills convention halls with upwards of 2,000 people with his world-famous Millionaire Mind Intensive Seminar and other programs. Harv is considered to be one of North America's most exciting presenters. My personal opinion, you're one of the most phenomenal presenters on the planet. I've seen a lot of people. You're awesome. Harv's high-energy, cut-to-the-chase style keeps his audience spellbound. He teaches using breakthrough techniques and high-involvement, accelerated learning technologies so that participants learn faster, remember more, and achieve maximum results. The change in people is immediate and permanent. T. Harv Eker's motto is, talk is cheap, and his unique ability is getting people to take action in the real world to produce real success. So over a 250,000 participants have come from all over the world to attend your events, Harv, and I know they changed people's lives because we have seen it over and over and over again. I mean, my relationship with you goes back, you know, over a decade when I first actually went to one of your events, and it was phenomenal. And they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have a multi-million dollar business, and you teach people how to be millionaires themselves. And so, Alex, anything you want to add to it? And then I'd like to ask, you know, Harv, just elaborate on anything that people should know about him before we get into some good content.
Well, what Harv reminds me of, because I've been to all 4 days of Millionaire Mind Intensive, and I went there as a student. I went with my wife, Amy, and I was sitting in the third row, and we sat through the entire process. And what it reminds me is of the quote, you know, tell me and I'll forget, show me and I may remember, involve me and I will learn. And the reason why Harv's imprint is indelible on us and what we'll be talking about today is because he involves us and involves all of his students. He trains. He just doesn't teach. So that's my two cents on Harv. I consider him a great friend, but also a great trainer and teacher. And I'm always learning from him, not only about money, but just the inner game of how to live and build a better relationship with money. So back to you, Joe.
Wonderful. Yeah, and Harv, is there anything that I did not say, or that anything about you that the audience would be interested in knowing that would be relevant to what we're going to talk about today?
No.
Okay, here's what I'll add in.
Now after 20 minutes, you're letting me say a word? Finally,
It's finally your time. Okay, look, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it. And, you know, the most important thing is let's make sure that everybody gets some information here and some skills and some ways of thinking that can really enhance your life immediately and long term. So let's get into it as best we can.
Okay, great. Well, you're known for this saying, give me 5 minutes and I'll predict your financial future for the rest of your life. And so I'd like you to explain what that is. What's this whole 5 minutes thing? And because I know it has to do with what is a money blueprint, which
right,
is what you teach.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's on the back of my book, and I say that at every seminar that I teach. Give me 5 minutes and I can predict your financial future for the rest of your life. How? By identifying your money blueprint. Each of us has a personal money blueprint already ingrained in our subconscious mind. And guys, it is this blueprint more than anything and everything else that will determine your financial life. So what that means is that you can know everything about business, everything about real estate, everything about stocks. You can be the absolute best at your job or at your business. You can be a great communicator, a great manager. You can be great at bringing people on. You can be great at joint ventures. You can be great at every skill you can possibly imagine. But if your subconscious, I repeat, subconscious money blueprint isn't preset for a high level of success, you will never amass a large amount of money. And if by chance you do, you're going to somehow manage to lose it. Can I give you an example of what I'm talking about?
Go right ahead.
You know, you've heard of a fellow by the name of Donald Trump, I presume. I think everybody who's listening has heard of that gentleman. And here's this multi-billionaire who loses everything and more. And 2 years later, he's got it all back again and more. Why? Because his money blueprint is set for high. On the other side of the coin, we have lottery winners. And we've all heard the stories, haven't we? They win $5 or $10 or $50, $100 million. Listen to this. 5 years later, virtually half of them are right back to where they started. Why? Their money blueprint is set for low. And so literally, as I said, every skill that you can gain is very, very important, and it'll all help. But if the foundation isn't set, the best bricks in the world and the nicest roof isn't going to last for very long, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Now, can I ask you a question about this? Because I've been curious. In your opinion, is the money blueprint the same as kind of like deservance issues that someone has, or does it have anything to do with feeling like I deserve to be wealthy, therefore? Or how would you, what's the similarities or the differences?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, you talk about deservingness. Deservingness is a part of the blueprint. So let's talk about what the blueprint is. The blueprint is strictly how you think, feel, and act around money and wealth, all right? Think, feel, and act. And by the way, it's probably a good time right now to jump into what we call the process of manifestation. And everyone who's listening to this right now or watching it, I want you, if you have a pencil or pen, it'd be really handy because it's very important to write this down. And what I'd like you to get down is that your thoughts lead to your feelings, which lead to your actions, and all that leads to your results. So thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, and those actions will lead to results. Your thoughts, feelings, and actions are your blueprint. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands this, that when I talk about blueprint or ways you think, feel, and act, all right, around money is what we're talking about today, but do you know that you have a blueprint around pretty well everything you do? So you have a relationship blueprint. You have a happiness blueprint. Do you follow what I'm saying? So every major part of your life, you have a way of thinking, feeling, and acting in that. That is your blueprint. And most of those ways, what people don't realize, are unconscious ways of thinking. You know, and if they weren't unconscious, you know, we'd have to literally, we'd slow down by about 1,000,000,000%. So they have to be unconscious. But so the blueprint is how you think, feel, and act towards money. Deservingness is one of the ways people feel around money. Some people feel that they are deserving. Some people feel that they're not deserving. And there's many root causes for that. But I'll just say right now, we can talk about it a little bit later, that in my book and in the seminars, we work on that very heavily because it's all, excuse my language, it's all BS. If someone believes they're unworthy, they have made that up, okay, for any reason, any number of reasons. It was probably ingrained in them when they were young, but it's a story, and the story's BS. And unfortunately, they bought into the story, and they're going to be the ones who need to recognize that they bought into a story, and it's probably somebody else's story that they bought into, and now they're living it. So, again, we can get into the more specifics of that after we get to the more of the overview of this.
Okay, great. Well, that answered my question. So, Alex, I'll let you go.
Okay, Harv, well, let's talk about those stories. I mean, you talk about primary ways that we're pre-programmed for success or failure with our finances, with money. What are the specific ways that you're talking about?
Well, that's important to know that because we are programmed. We're all programmed based on the information. See, nobody comes out of the womb doing money, right?
Right.
And so literally, we come out of this empty vessel and then we get taught how to do money and pretty well everything else. So, you know, who are we taught by? Well, we're taught by, you know, religious leaders and parents and siblings and grandparents and the media and culture. That's a good example, culture. Isn't it true that certain cultures have a certain way of thinking and dealing with money, and other cultures have a completely different way of thinking and dealing with money, yes?
Yes.
Again, does a child come out of the womb doing it that way, or were they taught how to do it that way? So it's very important to realize that everyone, including me and you and everyone who's listening to this, was taught how to do money. Now, the problem is that most of us were taught by people who, A, either didn't have a lot of money, or, B, had a lot of emotional issues and baggage around it. Their ways of thinking and feeling and acting became our ways automatically because we just modeled it. And then we just run on it normally, and we think, now this is normal. But it's not normal. It was taught to us. So the question you asked was, what are the specific ways that we're taught how to do money or any other programming? And the answer is we're taught everything in three primary methods. Verbal programming, that's all about what did you hear when you were young. Modeling, that's all about what did you see when you were young. And specific incidents, that's all about what did you experience when you were young. Do you want to go into some of the specifics around these?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's do verbal programming. Because in my seminars, what I normally do is I have people, you know, get into a partnership or a group there, and what they discuss is what were some of the phrases that you heard around money, success, and rich people when you were young. So, for example, people will call out that. I'll ask after, what were the ones you heard? So they'll say, money's the root of all evil, and rich people are greedy, and filthy rich, and you have to work hard to make money, and you can't be rich and spiritual, or money doesn't bring happiness, or money doesn't buy love, or did anybody ever hear this one, or am I the only one? We can't afford it, okay?
Right.
You know, or it takes money to make money, and money corrupts people. You want to hear my father's favorite?
Go ahead.
Anytime I asked him for anything, he'd snarl at me and go, hey, what am I, made of money? And I used to joke around with him. I go, I wish that. I'll take an arm, a leg, I'll take a baby finger. He never laughed once. But anyway, here's the thing. All of the statements that you heard when you were young, every last one of them is lodged in your subconscious mind and part of the blueprint that is running your financial life. And it's very important to realize this because, your group is a little bit, I would say, a little higher echelon than many because they're learning from a couple of the best guys on the entire planet around success. So let's get a little bit higher with these guys, if it's okay, and let's talk about this. So your thoughts lead to your feelings, lead to your actions, lead to your results. But let's take a look at your thinking. It's all based in your thought. It's all rooted and sourced in your thought pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about that because let's take a look. What creates your thoughts? Why do you think differently than everybody else, than the person sitting beside you, especially you two? So literally, you know, why does someone think differently than everyone else? And there we go. What is it that is the root cause of your thought process? And the root cause of your thoughts is your programming. What was installed in the files of your mind. Well, you know, we do well because we keep things really simple for people. But people have to understand that your mind is nothing more than a big old file cabinet. The same cabinet you'd have in your home or your office that you store files and you store files of information. And your mind is a great labeling machine. It's a meaning-creating machine. Then it labels all the information that comes through all of your senses and knowledge into files and files them and categorizes them. Why? For future reference. Why? For survival, okay? In other words, your mind is nothing more than a survival mechanism, but it doesn't know what's going to help you survive or not. And, of course, there's many ends of survival. There's financial survival, there's physical survival, there's emotional survival. So it files everything there. And so you've got everything in there. And so literally, it's nothing more than this big old file cabinet. Now, here's the issue. So you can only think what's in your file cabinet. So same as you can only get a file or a piece of paper out of your file cabinet if it's there, okay? If it's been filed there. And if it's not been filed there, you can't get it out of there. So what people feel is normal and natural in their choices is true. It's normal and it's natural and it's the right choice for them at the time. Why? Because it's helpful? No. It's because it's in their file and it's the only choice they've really got. Let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. In my book, I have an example of this woman who goes into a mall, and she sees a green purse in the window, and in her mind, it goes, wow, I've needed a green purse to go with my green shoes that I bought last week for my green dress that I bought 2 weeks ago. So she goes into the store, and she asks the salesperson. The salesperson says, yes, and it's 25% off. And she goes, wow. This makes sense to me. This is a good financial decision. A, I need the purse. B, it's 25% off. C, this makes good. I'm going to buy it. So her mind files say, this is a good move. You should buy it. You see, but nowhere in that file cabinet is there a file that says, yes, but you're $5,000 in debt right now. Maybe you should hold off.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That file is MIA, missing in action. It doesn't exist. So what I'm saying to everybody listening right now is what you normally do is normal for you, natural for you, and you're going to make the best decision financially you can with the files you've got. But you can't make better decisions unless you've got different files. And the only way you're doing what you're doing right now, because you make decisions that you believe are appropriate for you. You make decisions around money, about business, around everything. Say, this is the right thing to do. But it may be right, but it may not be the best, because you may not have access to the best decisions possible. And that's why I commend and compliment everybody who's on your Genius Network, everybody who's involved in listening to you guys and listening to things like this, because the only way you can get new files is to have new information implanted in there, and that's part of what we're going to do today.
Now, that, you know, that's great. I actually love the analogy, and, you know, the way that I think of it is, you know, what really the people that are listening to this do, the people that read your books, that go to your events, and people that basically are always doing things to continue to get better results is, you know, they're looking for a chainsaw instead of using an axe, and a lot of people use axes when they could be using chainsaws if they just even knew they existed. So in a lot of ways, we're just hopefully offering tools for people to put into their toolbox and show them how to take the existing tools they have and do a better job with it. So, Alex, is there anything else you wanted to add to that particular subject?
Yeah, briefly before the next question, Harv, you train people how to interrupt those patterns or realign those file cabinets in our minds that are lodged, and we could be an entrepreneur, we could be 50 years old, 30 years old, they're just lodged there. There are specific steps you can actually train someone to overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that's really interesting is because a lot of people say, well, you know, because really your thought files your files and your ways of thinking are beliefs, you know, they're belief systems, really. And so someone says, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't really change the way a person thinks and believes. You know, you can't. Well, I beg to differ. First of all, because I changed the way I think, firstly. Secondly, I've done, thank God, almost 400,000 people in the last several years and changed the way they think through our programs. But it's obvious. I mean, just take a look at it. Let me ask you a question. I had an interview recently with a kind of a stick-it-to-em type of reporter. You know those kinds, right?
Uh-huh.
Anybody who's successful, they want to tear down. And, you know, to bring them back to make them feel comfortable, right? And literally, he would say, you know, you can't really change someone's beliefs. It's ridiculous to think that you can change the way somebody thinks and what they believe. And go, let me ask you a question. Suppose, for example, that you have a very good friend, and you believe they're very trustworthy and reliable. They would never do anything to hurt you. And, you've been with them for 5 or 10 years, and you really believe that. But you find out one night, a friend calls you and say, did you know what your buddy just did? And you go, no, and they tell you. And you go, I can't believe it. They would never do that. But then you find out that it's true. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you still believe they're trustworthy? Do you still believe they're reliable? Do you still believe they're a good friend? Well, no, you changed that belief in about 0.75 seconds, didn't you? Why? With new information.
Yeah.
See, when you examine information, you know, you can, and you examine things, you examine the way you think, you very often come up with a different way of looking at it based on who you are today and who you want to be tomorrow. So literally, the first step is there's four basic steps. And so, A, yes, you can change the way you think. You can change your money blueprint, absolutely. Why do you know you can change it? Because you changed it in the first place, right? You got it in the first place. The same way you got it in the first place, you can now get a new one. So, for example, four very specific steps. Number one, awareness. You have to be aware that you are thinking in ways that are not as supportive as they could be to the level of wealth you want to attain. All right. What does that mean? It means that everyone who's listening to this right now has a certain level of wealth that they're at now and another level that they want to attain, hopefully, or success in any way, shape, or form. And literally, you have to first be aware that you might yourself be thinking in ways that are non-supportive to you going to the next level. I'm going to reverse that and say this. If you were thinking in ways that would allow you to go to the next level, you'd already be there.
Yeah, now, Harv, the reporter saying you can't change beliefs, that's a belief, and so that guy was not aware of that, correct?
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. So the first step is to be aware that you may be thinking in ways that are not supportive to you, specific ways. And that's what we deal with in the book, 17 very specific ways that, you know, rich people think very differently than most other people. And the second thing is understanding. So, okay, so now you know you're thinking in a way that's not very supportive. And but again, it only seems normal to you. I have people all the time come up to me and go, oh, my God, you changed my life. Your book changed my life. And I go, well, why is it? They go, well, you know, you kept nailing me when you kept on talking about how poor people think. You know, I kept saying, boy, that's me, and I thought that was normal, right? So like, I give it a very simple way. One guy came was in a seminar, and he stands up. He goes, Harv, I understand what you're saying. It makes perfect sense. But the fact is that money corrupts people. The first understanding is that awareness is that is, whether it's true or false or right or wrong, doesn't make any difference. The only question is, does that empower you for success? I don't think so, okay? So the second piece is understanding. So now we have to go into, why do you believe that? Where did you get that from? And what we do in our seminars and in the book is we talk about, as we talked earlier, about the conditioning process. And what most people will recognize is that they got all their beliefs from somewhere, that they weren't born with them. And then they can start to think, if I got this belief from that person, how's that person doing? And are they happy and are they successful? Well, maybe I shouldn't be adopting their belief then anymore, now that I know where it came from. Or it might have been a specific incident that occurred. You know, can I give you the story about my wife, Rochelle, right?
Yes.
When she was 8 years old, she would hear the clanging of the ice cream truck coming down the street. And she would run to her mom and ask her mom for a quarter. And her mom would say, sorry, dear, I don't have any money. Go ask Dad. Dad's got all the money. She'd run on over to Dad. She'd go get her quarter. She'd go get her ice cream. She's a happy camper. Next week, she'd hear the clanging of the ice cream truck coming down the street. She'd run to her mom and ask her mom for a quarter. And her mom would say, of course, the same thing. Sorry, dear, I don't have any what? Money. Go ask your dad. Dad's got all the money. If you go ask Dad, go get her money. She'd go to her ice cream. She'd have a camper. Question, what did she learn about money? Well, the first thing she learned was that women don't have money. Mom, the deity, the perfect model, doesn't have money. Therefore, a normal way for a good woman to be is to not have any money. What'd she learn about men and money? That men have all the money, right? You know, Dad, go to Dad. That man's got all the money because the mind generalizes. So, you know, it was no question that when she would, to validate that way of being, any money that she got, she'd have to what? Get rid of it to validate her way of thinking. The women don't have money and men do. And, of course, when we first got married, you know, what do you think she expected of me? You know, it wasn't quarters anymore, you know. Somehow she graduated.
Right.
So, literally, you know, that's a belief that doesn't work. But once she began to understand that it was this simple little single incident, and for some people it's many incidents, that led to her belief, then she started realizing, look, for who I am today and who I want to be tomorrow, this way of thinking just doesn't work.
It's a huge shift when it happens, isn't it?
It is. So the first thing is awareness. The second thing is to understand where it comes from and to understand that it's not you. That's the third stage, disassociation. Recognizing that this way of thinking, this mind file, as we call it, isn't yours. It's been adopted from somewhere or something else, or a conclusion that your mind created to adapt to a situation from way back when. And what I'm saying to everyone here is, you know, one of the things I say in my seminars that you guys know about is, I say, don't believe a word you say. I'm sorry, I say, don't believe a word I say. And, I, you know, trust your own experience. But also I want to say to people this, don't believe a word you say. And don't believe a thought you think. If you get anything out of this interview right now, I want you to get that your mind is like this radio station that's got no off switch, basically, and it may not be playing the tunes that are favorable to you and make you happy. So again, your mind is a survival mechanism. Its job isn't to make you successful, in case you haven't noticed, and its job sure isn't to make you happy, and I'm sure you've noticed that. In fact, the only reason you may not be fully successful and fully happy is that blabbermouth, that little voice in your mind telling you all kinds of disastrous and worrisome and problematic things and annoying the heck out of you. So your mind is very powerful, but it usually works against you in most situations. Why? Because it's a conditioned mind, and it's been conditioned with information that doesn't work for you. So So what I'm going to ask everybody to do is something completely outlandish, and I'm going to say that, you know, and I know you people are going to hang me on this. A reporter in a while ago said, "Harv, do you brainwash people at your seminars?" I go, I wish I could wash people's brains out completely and have them start fresh and anew based on who they are today and who they want to become. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely.
So I'm saying for everyone listening, the best thing you can possibly do is forget everything you ever heard and everything you ever know and start fresh from supportive ways of thinking. See, your ways of thinking, you're going to have two choices. And in my book, I call this power thinking. So literally, you're always going to have two choices. As a thought bubbles up in your head, I want you to become enlightened. What that means is I want you to become the observer. I want you to begin to watch every thought that comes through your head and literally analyze it very quickly as in one of two categories. Is this thought supportive to my happiness and success, or is it a destructive and non-supportive thought? And you will be in absolute and utter shock as to what percentage of thoughts that bubble up in your head are non-supportive and make you unhappy and unsuccessful. And you'll be in shock. And I would say for most people, it's probably in the 80 to 90% range. Most people's thoughts are not happy thoughts. They're not supportive thoughts. They're not successful thoughts. They're destructive thoughts. They're non-empowering thoughts. They say something negative. You have to understand it. So what do you do about this? Well, you start to examine your thinking patterns and questioning whether those are accurate and supportive. Now, here's the thing. Beliefs can't be true or false or right or wrong. They're just opinions at best. And thoughts, listen closely here. Thoughts, your little voice, isn't right or wrong or true or false, but it can be empowering or disempowering. And I say this. See, you're going to make up a thought or a story, because you've made it up, around everything, right? I'm looking right now in my house. I'm looking at it's probably about 1 o'clock, and the trash hasn't been picked up, and it's in front of my house. Now, I'm looking at this trash can, and I'm going, my first thought is, it's 1 o'clock. You know, usually they pick up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I don't like this thing sitting out in front of my house anyway. So what's going on? Are they not going to pick it up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if they don't pick it up today? Well, I'm going to have to drag the thing back in. The thing weighs more than I do. I have to drag it all the way back in. Listen to what I've just done. I've created this story about this container that's sitting in my driveway. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a drama almost.
Because your mind, you know, it's a survival mechanism, and what it does basically, it creates dramas and stories that are usually drama and disaster based because it's its own entertainment center. You know, it's so powerful. What you normally do in a day-to-day business is boring to it. So it creates all this work because it's always worried about what can happen. You know, it's the what-if syndrome. So your mind is a fear-based mechanism. So it's look out, be careful, trouble over here, trouble over there. And here's the problem. We buy into it. We create these stories, then we believe the stories. And so I'm going to ask everyone right now I want you to divide all of your thoughts, every one of them, I want you to analyze it very quickly as it comes through, divide it into three categories: empowering, neutral, disempowering. I'll repeat it. Empowering, neutral, disempowering. All right? When a thought comes in that's empowering, hey, run with it, keep it, all right? When it comes in and it's neutral, as in probably it's just in the present moment, by the way, keep that one for sure. When it comes in and it's disempowering, we have a little apparatus we use at our courses, which is like a little rubber band around your wrist, and it works really well. You snap that band and you say, cancel. And your mind's going to go, hey, you can't cancel me out. You can't cancel that thought. That's an important. What if they don't pick up that garbage? What are you going to do, okay? You're going to have to get your boots on it. And you're going to say, cancel. And you're going to say, cancel, all right? You're not going to buy into the train. I repeat, the train of thinking that leads to. So what happens, guys, is your mind has a little thought that's kind of this little, little negative black little thought. And then it creates a whole tributaries through that thinking, and then it's a river, and then it's a whole ocean. You can't even, you're obsessed with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have all had it happen 100 times. So you can't let the energy of that thought start to gain its own momentum. I want you to just simply cancel every single non-supportive thought that comes through your head, and I want you to do it immediately, and don't go back into it. And if it tries, just go say cancel again. I know this sounds juvenile. I know this sounds like a nothing thing. I know we've all heard it before. But I also know most people aren't happy and successful, and that's the reason. You aren't happy and you're not successful because of one thing, what's on top of your shoulders. And you are happy and successful because of one thing, and it has nothing, very little to do with what's on your shoulders, and much to do with in your heart and your spirit. See, my belief is that we're naturally joyous and naturally fairly blissful. And, you know, babies don't come into the world. They cry for a little bit because of this shock, and it's a way of them breathing, but they're pretty happy things, right? Okay? Until we get to them. Right? And then we implant our garbage into them, and then now they start thinking those things. So literally, I believe that, you know, you can control and manage your mind, and that managing your own mind is the number one skill to success and happiness. And you manage your mind in so far as those three categories. So what's empowering, what's neutral, what's disempowering. And you will not tolerate disempowering thoughts going through your head. You will not tolerate it.
Harv, I'm really a little concerned, though, about this trash out in front of your... you live in way too exclusive of a community to be... I mean, I'm almost half tempted to drive over there and deal with that for you.
You know what? It's the recycling one, too, so it's pink. It stands out like a sore thumb, and so like everybody would see it.
Well, you know, it's funny about what you said, and so much of what it is you teach. I don't know if you've ever looked at it this way. I mean, I've always kind of looked at what it is that you teach people as a practice, you know, very much like a meditation practice, a exercise practice, a spiritual practice. I mean, it's not something that for some people happen overnight. Some people do have instant paradigm shifts and really get that awareness and that clarity. Other people work on it and develop it. I mean, I know, and from my own experience, the things that were really worth having are continual practices and developments. And so I think with just developing wealth and thinking and behaviors, this is a practice. I mean, just, I don't know if there's a right way to answer this question. When you work with people, what are some of the shifts in terms of timelines that you can see people that are, you know, have a disempowering thought process shifting to an empowering one? I mean, can that happen over a weekend? Can it happen instantaneously? Or usually is this something that takes years of development?
You know, you hit it on the head. That's a great question. You hit it on the head when you first asked the question. It just depends on who you are and what you're ready to let go of. So, you know, there's three elements to learning anything, and you guys know this because you guys are excellent trainers also. And there are three elements to change. Number one is high impact. Number two is high frequency. And number three is ongoing support. So repeat, high impact, ongoing frequency, ongoing support. If you're going to change in any substantial way, all three elements will need to be there or you're going to have a challenge and a half. And if you're a teacher and you're going to change people in any way or help change people or support people in their change, those three elements will have to be there. So the higher impact you can create the situation, the more quickly that situation can change. In other words, this. Who remembers the accident more? The person who was almost in an accident, a car accident, or the person who was in the accident, got smashed to bits and in the hospital for a year and a half? You know? High impact makes a big, big difference. Then you've got high frequency. You get high impact, for example, or not, and you heard me say that you will not tolerate any non-supportive thoughts, and you will say cancel to each one of them and go back to a present moment or back to an empowering thought, okay? You have to train your mind to do this because your mind will naturally go the opposite way. So it's a training. Now, so you've heard me say that. Well, great, big deal. Wow, what's going to happen 2 hours from now? Well, not a heck of a lot, probably. Why? It's not high frequency enough. You haven't practiced enough. I don't want to get into the details, but we live in a base of, in our brain, there's neurological pathways that basically hold, are these money files, right? And these neurological pathways are actually called dendrites. And what happens is a dendrite is almost like a muscle. It's a pathway for information to go through. And your mind will always take the path of least resistance, which is why you keep going back to the same thought processes you've always had, okay? And why you keep on going back to habits, and that's why they're called habits. They're just neurological pathways that are the largest and easiest and most accessible pathways, okay? So you think money, or I'm going to buy some real estate. Right away, a neurological pathway fires, and your real estate file comes up, or dendrite just comes out. It's going to be the biggest one that occur. That's the most easiest one to get to, okay? Now, here's the thing. It's just like a muscle. The more install, when you create a new way of thinking, again, in the book, we'll talk about it here, hopefully, some ways that rich people think, very rich people think, versus other people, and you start to think that and believe that and repeat that and declare that, you're starting to form another neurological pathway, a dendrite. Now, at the very beginning, that dendrite's going to be very small. It's going to be a little film. It's a little filament. It's a nothing, okay? But if you keep doing it, just like spun in the veins and arteries and muscles in your bicep, okay? If you just pick up a weight, a 5-pound weight one time, you know, not much is going to happen. But if on a daily basis or an hourly basis, you keep on increasing the weights that you're using and pumping that iron, what's going to happen? The vessels, the blood vessels, are going to have to naturally increase in size to hold the amount of blood that you are attempting to flow through them. And so they will naturally increase from use. Now, same thing, but if you don't use it at all, the ones you don't use, let's say you work on your legs at all, they're going to what? It's the same thing. Your vessels, called dendrites, the more you use a specific dendrite, the more it will increase because it has to capture that flow of information. It'll just do it naturally. It's supposed to. The more you desist or cancel the thoughts that aren't working for you, those will, as you don't consistently work with them, they will begin to atrophy. And pretty soon the magic occurs in when the path of least resistance is a neurological pathway or a dendrite in that arena that is supportive to wealth and happiness versus non-supportive. And yes, for some people that can be immediate. It's so high impact and so, you know, crazy for them to think the old way that they go, it doesn't make any sense at all. And actually, we have processes in our course, in the Millionaire Mind Intensive. We have processes that actually do this. This is what we do in those 3 days. We put people through a battery of very fun games and exercises that make their old dendrites literally seem so ridiculous upon examination, and we infuse those dendrites with different information so they can't even pick them up anymore. It's like on the radar screen, it's like cloaked. Okay, and then we install in very strong and powerful neurological pathways and dendrites, and we do it in such a high impact and high frequency way that it's the normal way of thinking when you walk out of the seminar. But not for everyone, okay? Some people, they're just going to resist so much that it will take much higher frequency. So again, if you've got all three elements involved, high impact, high frequency, and then ongoing support, which is exactly what this interview is, ongoing support for your students, you're going to eventually make some changes. And you know what? You're not going to necessarily go, oh, I really notice that I think very differently these days. Your mind's not going to even let you think that way. What you're going to notice is your result. But it's not going to drop like, you know, a lottery win, $6 million. It's going to just be, well, you know what? If I really take a look at my life or who I am today and my life or now versus 5 years ago, you know, I've really made some really giant strides. My financial life's a lot better, or at least it's getting better. I am quite a bit happier. I am quite a bit more conscious. I think I'm a better person. And what do you think? That comes naturally? No. Left to its own demise, the mind will take you down the road of disaster.
You know, that's a great point. I actually have a very highly trained 67-year-old psychiatrist friend of mine who... She's an amazing woman, and she's made comments to me before about how in the human brain, that's where we contain our own weapons of mass destruction. And the brain is a very creative device. You can creatively use it to make millions of dollars and do all kinds of wonderful things for yourself and the world and other people, or you can creatively use it to absolutely have a train wreck and a disaster and be a self-sabotage mechanism. So, very interesting.
There you go. It's a train that's going at 100 miles an hour with no brakes.
Yeah.
You have to be the brake. See, most people think they are their mind. Most people think the little voice in their head is who they are. I beg to differ. You are not your mind. Your mind is a part of you like your hand is a part of you. It is a tool, not you, okay? You are the one that needs to control it. And it is the hardest and most challenging work you will have in your life, but I'll tell you what, it's the most satisfying and it is the most effective. Because when you can manage your mind properly, you will have what you want. And when you, and your mind manages you, you will have what you don't want.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you know what I also love too is that, you know, us, our listeners, they're people that are already focusing their attention on this particular subject and this particular area in order to get better results in their life, which, you know, is infinitely different than the majority of people that are out there that don't even place any focus on this type of stuff. So there's obviously a type of thinking that takes place in an individual success-focused individual's brain. Now, the majority of people listening to this interview are entrepreneurs. And they focus on developing wealth, and there are many that are rich, there are many that want to be rich, and there are many that are not. And we have people that range from, you know, literally just starting out in business to I have one friend who's a billionaire that will listen to this interview, and I know he's going to love the things that you have had to say. And so I want to talk a little bit about how do rich people think and, more importantly, act about money, about financial freedom, than poor people and middle-class people, because there's a huge difference, and I know you teach a lot about this.
Absolutely. We can start with one about money, or we can start with one that will really pertain to business people.
Whatever you're happy with. I don't care.
Well, you know what? Let's start with the money one, and let's make sure we don't forget about the problem one, because when it comes to business, there's lots of so-called problems that occur, isn't there? And people have to know how to deal with them. One of the things that's kind of funny and cute and yet has a lot of truth to it, at least in my view, is that, you know, rich people truly believe, you know, I create my life. And most other people, they somehow believe that life happens to me. And it's really imperative that people who are listening right now, they understand that they have the belief that you are at the steering wheel of your life, especially your financial life. You have to believe that you are the one who creates your success. You are the one who creating your mediocrity right now. And any financial struggles or worries right now, you are the one creating those, consciously or unconsciously. But instead of taking full, and I repeat full, because a lot of your listeners have heard things around accountability and responsibility before, I'm talking about 100% accountability. Can you be not 80 or 90, but 100% accountable for everything that occurs to you in your life? I'm not saying to blame yourself, okay? I'm just saying that you are the one who you recognize that you've created everything that occurs for you. So literally, created or co-created, all right, in the same way. So instead of doing that, of course, most people play the victim, right? And you can always tell a victim because they leave three indelible clues. First of all, they blame. They are blamers. They blame and most people do this to some extent. So they blame the economy. They blame their type of business. They blame the real estate market. They blame the internet. They blame the crash. They blame the city. They blame the tax. They blame the government. They blame their staff. They blame their network marketing, their upline or their downline. They blame their husband. They blame their wife. You know, I would, but my wife won't let me work past 7 o'clock. Or my husband's always working, so, you know, I've got to take care of this or whatever. Or their boyfriend or girlfriend. And of course, everybody wants to blame their parents for something, right? Or they justify. That's the second clue. First one's blame. Second one's justify. They justify their situation by saying something like, well, you know, money's not really that important. Let me ask you a question. If you said that your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend wasn't really important, would they be around for very long? I don't think so, and neither would money. And, you know, it's so funny, guys, because what happens for me when I do the big seminars is people come up to me all the time at a break, like I'm sure they do to you, and they'll go, Harv, money's not really important. And I'll look at them square in the eye, and I'll say, you're broke, aren't you? And they go, well, right now, not, you know, right now I'm a little short, but I go, no, not right now, always. You've always been broke, yes or yes. And they stand there with their mouths open, gasping for air, going, because of course they're broke. I mean, literally, this is very, very simple. If you don't think money is important, you won't have any because you won't do what it takes to have it. You know, you can actually dazzle your friends with this information. Next time your friend says something lame like that money's not important, I want you to put your hand over your forehead and look up into the heavens and look at them then and go, you're broke.
I love that.
And they're going to go, how did you know? And you're going to go, what else do you want to know? That'll be $50, please, and you have a whole new part-time business. You can be a clairvoyant.
No, you know what? That is, it's so funny and it's so true. And I mean, I've heard you talk about this before where, you know, I mean, people say that money can't buy happiness. And of course, I think anyone that really believes money can't buy happiness is an idiot because frankly, I mean, I've heard you talk about the first class analogy that, you know, I like flying first class in airplanes also. And I know Alex does too. I think anyone that has ever flown coach versus first class, there's tons of advantages. And if flying first class over coach makes you feel a little bit happier and you've got enough money to do that, you've just bought yourself a little bit of happiness. If you like going on a vacation with your family and going jet skiing and you're able to pay for that and do it, you just bought yourself a little bit of happiness. So I think, you know, just the whole context of how broke people view money is night and day different between wealthy people that absolutely understand the importance and the context of what money can do for them.
Right, so. You know, I have to interject here because this is where people who have non-supportive ways of thinking, or what I call poverty or poor mentalities, poor as in it makes you unhappy and doesn't allow you to go to your full extent financially. Again, we're not saying people on this collar broke, okay? Some people may be, most people aren't. So we're not talking about, you know, I don't have any money and I want to make... No, we're saying, you know, if you're a millionaire, let's go to 10 million. If you got 10 million, let's go to 100 million. Now, literally, and if you're, you know, I've got a net worth of 500,000, let's make you a millionaire very quickly and more. And we could talk, we should talk about why after. But, you know, people who got a non-supportive mentality are going to go, well, you know, what you just said there, you know, yeah, money buys happiness. And, you know, that's just not true. It doesn't. You know, those things are nice, but they don't make you happy. It's your family that makes you. It's both. Poor people and people who are struggling financially, or people who have non-supportive mentalities around money and wealth, will always call out that rich people only think about money, and they only think that money's going to buy them happiness. Not true. An enlightened rich person is what you want to be. A conscious rich person is what you want to be. A generous rich person. A compassionate rich person. Look, money can buy you the things that can allow you to be more comfortable and much happier, for sure. And it's not the only thing. And we know that other things are extremely important and equally as important to money in life, as in love and happiness and relationships and family and generosity and service. It's not one or the other. We should probably talk about that right now. One of the other ways that rich people think very differently than most other people is rich people have a both, write this down, a both mentality, and most other people have an either-or mentality. Most people think, you know, either I'm rich or I'm spiritual, or I'm rich or I'm kind and generous, or I'm rich and I'm caring, or I'm rich or I have my health, or I'm rich or I have my family. No! The answer to all those things is both. Those previous ways of thinking are scarcity mentalities. You made them up. You bought them from somewhere and you believe them, okay? One of the biggest changes that I've ever had seen in my own kids is whenever the question comes up of, you know, do we do this or this? I want the first thing for your mind to say, to train your mind to say, is both. How do I have both? Now, you're going to have to be a little creative, but I tell you what, that's a very good exercise. So the answer is, yes, I want to be, as I said earlier, my goal is to be rich and spiritual, rich and compassionate, rich and generous, rich and happy, rich and loving. All of it. What's wrong with that? See, I'd like to be a very kind, generous, and loving person, and really, really, really rich, okay? You know, in the book, you have heard the saying, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Well, yep. I have to say this, and I'm sure you guys agree, that has to be the all-time Hall of Fame stupidest saying I've ever heard in my life. What on earth is the use of having this cake if you can't eat it? What are you supposed to do? Shove it up the... I don't know, what are you supposed to do with this cake, okay?
So you're just supposed to fantasize about, well, if I just wish I could have that one day, but I never really can, and which I think is a perfect description of what broke people's mentality is.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, in my book, I kind of say it pretty bluntly there, and literally what I talk about is that, you know, rich people, they definitely believe, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too. And most other people and middle class people, they don't believe they deserve cake, so they order a little piece of cake. That's all they believe they deserve. I'll just have a little piece. And poor people, they don't believe they deserve cake at all, so they order a donut, focus on the hole, and wonder why they have nothing, right? So literally, you know, you want to have supportive thought patterns around it, and that's one of them, that you can have both. And again, one of the ones I want to go back to, if at all possible, is this, again, accountability thing. And one of the biggest problems with most people that they don't even see, because everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. And so one of the things that people do, naturally, a lot of them, is they do the third clue, which is complain. And I want everyone to know this. Complaining is the absolute worst possible thing you could do for your health or your wealth. The worst. Why? Well, one of the other programs we teach is called Wizard Training. That's all about how do you manifest what you want with elegance, joy, and grace. And the only way you can do that is to align yourself with natural principles, principles of the universe. And I'm going to say this right now. If you are struggling in your life in any way, shape, or form, it's because you are out of alignment with Mother Nature. You're out of alignment with the way the universal energy works. And if you want to have the best teacher in the world, don't listen to me. And unfortunately, I'm going to say don't listen to any human being. Go into the woods. Watch Mother Nature at play. You know, we're all part of nature. And so the laws that work for Mother Nature And the laws of Mother Nature are also work for you. And they are what you have to live by, okay? You're not going to get away from that. You're better off learning from a group of ants than from anything I can say. You're better off learning from a mountain than anything I can say. And so I don't mean to be woo-woo here, but literally, one of the principles that we utilize is that what I focus on expands. What you focus on expands. Like that stupid garbage can that is still in the front of my house. Okay?
The pink one.
You know what, Harv, I'd like us to get, like, Alex on his birthday, like an ant farm or something. I think it would be ideal
for him. I'm going to make a call as soon as this is over and remove that trash can now.
So let's talk about focus, because, Harv,
exactly.
you made a very clear point, and I think it's very important for everyone listening. They listen to a lot of money gurus out there who talk about, really, they have an either philosophy, not a both philosophy. The way they talk about debt elimination, a lot of people out there who get on television a lot, I'm not going to mention any names, say, pay off all of your debt and then you can play. And I don't know one rich person, I don't know any, I know a couple billionaires, I know tons of millionaires, all of them have debt and they all play. You have the both mentality, and you teach that in Millionaire Mind Intensive and in other courses. Talk about how people can get out of debt and don't have to focus on that completely and play at the same time, because I think that's what really separates you from anyone else talking about the relationship with money.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And it's very, very important, because, as you say, there are a lot of gurus out there who say, first you got to get out of debt, and then you can do, you know, you can start, so hopefully building your financial capital and playing and all that. But is that the stupidest thing at all? So, I mean, that's another Hall of Famer. Oh, my God. First of all, why are you in debt? Okay? And we're talking about consumer debt primarily. There's nothing wrong with being in debt and leveraging when you do it wisely and you do it for business. But when you have consumer debt, you know, that's just not the wisest financial play, okay? It's immediate gratification that you're working with there. And so, you know, you've got to temper that. But let me say this right now. What you focus on expands. What I would rather see people do is learn, and this is, of course, what we teach, how to manage your money in an easy and elegant and effective way, and then simply manage your money that way. And part, and I repeat, part of that money management strategy is reducing and then eliminating your debt. But if you only focus on debt, you know what that's like? What I want people to focus on is you're never going to get rich focusing on debt. You're never going to get rich eliminating your debt. You're never going to build the house spending all your time clearing the debris. Where's the wood? Where's the bricks? Where's the blueprint? Where's the building of the walls? If you bought some land, and it's full of junk and debris and all that stuff, and you say, I'm going to build a house here. When do you start? Well, when I finish, if I can put all my energy and time on getting rid of the debris, and I never go to an architect, and I never start putting the plan together as how to do it, and I never hire any contractors, and I never order any woods and plywoods and floors, your house won't get built. And secondly, it's a bore, and it's a drag, and who the heck wants to live that way? So the way you eliminate debt, consumer debt, again, is in the strategy and as part, I repeat, part of your money management method. And so, you know, in the book and again the courses, there's a very specific money management method that we teach. And it's basically, we call it a jar system, okay? And all it is basically six jars that you put together and all it does is separate your income, any revenue that you have, and you separate it for different jobs. And one of those, just like a baseball team, as I've mentioned in the course, you know, people say, well, I have this bunch of money and I'll just use it as I need it. But that's like having a baseball team on the field and you've got 9 third basemen. Guess what? You got a problem, because there's other things that have to be taken care of on the field, and everybody has to have a specific job. And the same with money management. You have to put away a certain amount of money, and of course we say at least 10%, but more if at all possible, into your financial freedom account. And what that means is that this is the first money that comes off, not debt, because you want to, what you focus on expands. What do you want to focus on? Your debt? Or you want to focus on building financial freedom and wealth? If you want financial freedom and wealth, you better focus on it. And the first monies that have to come in, you have to make a stake, a claim to yourself and the universe that this is where I am going and that this is the most important thing for me as far as financial situation is concerned. And so that you have to make a claim and a declaration to the universe, and you do that, A, by speaking it, but B, by doing it. When you take your first monies off of every check you get and you put that into your financial freedom and your wealth building account for investment purposes and for financial purposes for future, building your wealth, you are staking that claim. You are declaring to the universe, this is what I want more of. This is what I'm focusing on. And, of course, along that we have several other accounts that we work with, but the two ones, the biggest ones right there, as you've mentioned, is your financial freedom account, and you have another account for playing. And you take 10% of your money, and you play with it. And that money has to be blown for things that you really, really enjoy and things that make you feel rich. So, literally, you know, when you go, one of the things that has to happen here is that nature is in balance, and we have to be in balance. And your logical self and your heart have to be, and your spirit heart have to be in balance. And if you're all work and no play, it's going to catch up to you. You know that. If you're all save, and you never play, it's going to catch up to you. If you're all get rid of debt, and you never play, it's going to catch up to you. Because one day, your spirit self is going to say, I've had enough, and it's going to sabotage everything you've ever done and say, now it's my turn. You got the message? So you might as well give it what it needs now. Your logical part of you, you absolutely have an account where 10% of your money at least goes into your financial freedom fund. And there's another 10% that goes into your play fund. And then you have another 10% that's your long-term savings for certain things that you'd want to buy, let's say a home or a boat or a new car. But in this case, you may want to use that 10% to begin eliminating extra debt. You always have to pay your minimums anyways. So certainly I subscribe what you're saying. If you focus on debt, what are you going to get more of? Debt. How do you know? Well, check it out. Check your experience. If that advice worked, guys, if the guru advice of focusing on your debt and eliminating your debt before you build any wealth worked, why is debt growing every single day like obesity? Why is debt growing in our beautiful country to extreme, you know, proportions of more and more and more every single day? If that worked, it doesn't work. You have to focus on building wealth. Then you know what? Guess what? If you're rich, the debt takes care of itself, doesn't it?
It does, and the greatest gift I think I could have ever given my son Gabriel, who's just old enough to get the JAR system, is that all of the verbal programming, all the modeling, all the specific incidents around money and a play fund and eliminating debt, and, you know, he has a little bit of debt, is so good and so beneficial to him. He's not going to have to overcome a lot of the victim thinking that I did in growing up, and he has a whole new story he's living into. So that it's not only for us, but if we're parents, our children or grandchildren, if we're grandparents, can have a huge impact. Do you have any specific stories that you could share with us before we go to Joe in the final questions on how that whole process of playing and paying off debt has made a big impact on families or friends or business colleagues? Because a lot of people are struggling with this whole debt question because they get into more debt because that's what they focus on.
Yeah, well, I don't know if about a story specifically, but, you know, we have literally thousands of graduates, and every one of them comes back with the exact same situation. You balance your payment of debt, of course you do, but you focus on growing your income and growing your wealth. You know, you have to put money in, save it and invest it. And if you put your attention there, you know, here's a good analogy. People want to lose weight, right? But they focus very much on the diet, depriving themselves, which only increases their emotional quotient, which makes them eat, okay? And instead of, you know, there's a balance of certainly you want to, I've had this situation myself, and I've worked it, and I know for me it works 1,000%, and everybody else I know it works for 1,000%, but focus on what you want. So we know that diet, losing weight, is a balance of eating, of calorie, energy expenditure. So, you know, you eat less and you expend more. In other words, you work out. And here's the thing. Instead of focusing on depriving yourself of what you eat, I say this. If you're not eating horrendous amounts, whatever, eat what you want, but work out 10 times as much. Then you'll have a positive habit that's going to make you healthier in all ways and forms, and you don't have to deprive yourself, and you'll look forward to working out. So it's the same with money. You know, work on the wealth. Work on saving some of your money and putting it into wealth-producing arenas, investments that can return situations for both passive income and increase in assets. And the debt element, don't put that much attention on it. Just make it a part. Take 10% and pay off an extra 10% every single month that you can. But focus on what you want, not on what you don't want.
Exactly. Well, no, I mean, I think of the whole thing, too, as just I like looking at money as fun tickets and then all of the ways that I'm going to accumulate more fun tickets and, you know, do the things I want to do. Since the majority of our listeners are, again, entrepreneurs, what I want to do, the last thing I want to ask you to talk about, Harv, is really entrepreneurism and in the definition of an entrepreneur. One thing I want to say before that is, if this message, what you've said, resonates with our listeners, if they've not already read your book or attended one of your seminars, I would highly recommend it and endorse it. I mean, both Alex and I, not only are we friends, but we also really believe in what each other does, and all of us have had lots of experience with people wanting to gain results and success in their life. And this may sound simplistic, but I mean, I know both of you have experienced where people come up and say, well, yeah, how do I market an ad? How do I sell more stuff? How do I generate wealth? And part of it is, well, you know, it's in the book. If you want to know how to do it, here's the book. Here's the course. And sometimes people want some magic answer. In reality, though, it's what we're suggesting to people is hopefully defining the game to play, and then if they want to learn how to play the game, go to the event, read the book. That will give you the actual instructions that you need in order to do it. So I do want to say to everyone that certainly read Harv's book and attend his events. They're phenomenal. You truly are one of the most powerful, intense, enthusiastic trainers that I've ever seen.
Joe, one thing real quick, while we're on this interview, I went and purchased the CD for Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, because I didn't realize it was out in CD. And I can't tell you the importance of being in traffic or during dead time, of just listening is so important. So forget not only the book, but get the audio too, so you can just, when your subconscious is nice and relaxed, you get fed that brain food, because that'll make a huge impact as well. Manny O'Connett made a business of it. The CD and the book together is like a double whammy. You will recondition your mind that way, definitely.
Absolutely. So, you know, the answer to a lot of people that are sitting there listening to this going, yeah, I want these things, is, well, okay. You know, Harv has given his philosophy. He's given an enormous amount of value here. Now the next step is for you to go deep with it. That's what we all do. That's how all of us learn. It becomes a practice. And so thank you for saying that, Alex. I completely agree with that. Get it from all different angles. Harv, the original definition of an entrepreneur was coined by a French guy, which is funny, named Jean Baptiste Say, that said an entrepreneur is an individual that takes resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level. And I love the way that you describe what an entrepreneur is, which is an individual that solves problems for a profit. I just love that whole concept, and I've been quoting you a lot recently saying that, because that's what the people that are listening to this interview do. That's how they make the money. That's how they will develop the wealth and their focus and go out and create value for the world. So any insights that you can leave our listeners with about entrepreneurism and just anything that could help them in their entrepreneurial careers to go out and make more money and change the world in positive ways?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And a couple of things. Firstly, yeah, that definition is very important. Definition of an entrepreneur, write it down if you haven't already done so, a person who solves problems for people at a profit. And literally, if you start to look at that definition, you will find out what you have to do. What do you get paid for? You get paid for solving problems. Now, here's the thing. Do you get paid more for solving more problems? Yes. Do you get paid more for solving problems for more people? Yes. Okay, so now you have the simple key. If you're not earning what you want to be earning, it's because you're not solving problems for enough people, or you're not solving large enough problems that they're paid for. It goes hand in hand with a definition of the law of income. The law of income states that you'll be paid in direct proportion to the value you deliver according to the marketplace. I'm going to repeat that so people can write this down too. You'll be paid in direct proportion to the value you deliver according to the marketplace. Now, value, what is that? Primarily, it's a problem to be solved. That's the value. Delivery, what's that? That means you can't be talking about it, dreaming about it, thinking about it, yakking about it, pretending to do it. You actually only get paid when you deliver that solution to someone who then gives you some money for it. A lot of people, they got tons of product in their garage or their basement. They've got great ideas. They talk a great talk, but they don't do squat. You know, they're still doing the same thing they did, you know, a year ago and 5 years ago. If you're going to make a drastic change in your income, you're going to need to make a drastic change in the value you deliver. And I hate to say this so bluntly to people, but literally, if you're not where you want to be financially, and especially on an income level, it's because you're not delivering a heck of a lot of value. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be, you know, rude, and I don't mean to be arrogant. And this, I can look in the mirror and say to me that if I'm not earning the income I want to earn in specific years because I didn't deliver the value that I wanted to deliver. So you've got to concentrate. Don't concentrate on the money. Money is a result. Wealth is a result. Income is a result. Your weight is a result. We live in a world of cause and effect. Money is just a symptom of what's going on underneath, both in your inner world and your outer ability to deliver the value. So that's why the programs that these guys learn with you in the marketing helps them deliver the value. But I want to challenge everybody right now to do one of the things that rich people do differently than most other people. And that is that rich people play the money game to win, and most other people play not to lose. Most people play the money game on defense versus offense. And if you play any game strictly on defense, what are your chances of winning that game? Slim and none. So, you know, the idea of earning enough money to survive or to just be comfortable, forget about it. That's not going to get you where you want to go. That's going to, you know, homeostasis at best, and you never stay the same. You're going to go down. You know, I want everyone right now to make a commitment as a homework, as an action plan from this call right here, to make a commitment. I want you to double or triple or quadruple or 10 times your income in the next year or two. Like, make a commitment. Say, okay, I'm earning $100,000 a year. Next year, my goal is to earn $500,000 or $1 million. You know, jack it up. Play the game to win. Play a bigger game. Why? Because one of the things we say in our courses is that if you shoot for the stars, you're at least going to hit the moon. Most people don't shoot for the ceiling in their house, and they wonder what the problem is. Let me ask you a question, guys. If you're earning $100,000 this year and you jack it up to earning $1 million next year, here's a question. Won't you have to do things radically different to earn $1 million than $100,000? The answer is, of course you will. Well, that's what you have to do. Radical difference in what you're doing. And I'll tell you right now, those two differences are going to have to be in A, the way you think, which I just gave you one, play the game 10 times bigger, and B, in your learning factor and what they need to learn from you guys in delivering and marketing their products or services. So it's got to be inner world and outer world, and the best thing you can do is you can say, listen, I'm going to go from $100,000 a year to $1 million, or from $1 million to $3 million, or from $50,000 to $500,000. And that intention alone, if you fail, if you said $100,000 to $1 million and you fail, oh, too bad, you only earned $500,000 this year. Oh, you see what I'm saying? And now I want to finish this with something that's very important to me, and I hope I can make a mention of it, because literally I've been talking about creating wealth and money and rich, and we talk about that a lot. But the question is, why? Why be rich? And I'm a big proponent, like, you know, I'm a financial evangelist, people call me, because I really promote being rich. And it's not just for the money. So three reasons to get rich. And by the way, I'm not saying you have to be rich to be a good person or have a good life. No. I'm not saying, you know, you choose if you want to be rich or not. But if you do, you're listening to the right people. How do you know? Because I'll just say right now, I can speak for myself, but I know from you guys, the people listening to this call, you know, the three of us have made multi-millionaires. And literally, I can only speak for myself, you know, we've helped over 400,000, almost 500,000 people radically change their financial lives. So literally, you know, you know who to model here. But three reasons to get rich. Number one, for the lifestyle. And there's no question it's a nicer lifestyle. I'd rather live in a nicer lifestyle than a crappy one. And, you know, you're not a saint for being poor, okay? I don't know where you got that, but, you know, cut that out, because you can be a very, very wonderful person and very generous and kind and be really rich. You need to start thinking that way, okay? So, I don't know, people who are broke, they think they're better. I don't know where they got that, but they're just broke as far as I'm concerned. Rich people are greedy. Well, you know what? If you're broke and poor, you're probably greedy too. Well, it doesn't make you a saint to be broke, okay? Let's get rid of that one first. So for the lifestyle, number two, here's my belief. My philosophy is this. If you have the wherewithal to get rich, it is your duty, your obligation to do so. Why? So that you can help the people who just do not and will never have that wherewithal. There are not hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions. There are hundreds of millions of people in this country and around the world that will never have the opportunities and the wherewithal to get rich, okay? But everyone, and I'll say this right now, bluntly, I don't care who you are, if you are listening to this, you have the wherewithal. So you've lost all your excuses, okay? You have the wherewithal. You don't just do it for yourself, but you do it, you know, why not set a different goal here? And one of the things we do in our courses is that we have goals for ourselves, but we also have goals for others. We have a give jar. Let me ask you, and by the way, we have a give jar that says, you know, 10% of everything that I take in, I contribute to others. I give back to others. And so let me ask you a question. What if one of your goals was to not just earn $1 million a year? What if one of your goals was to give away $1 million a year? Help people, whether it's medical things or whether it's supplies for disasters or whether it's AIDS or whatever it is for you. Help by giving away, contributing $1 million a year. Now, to do that, you have to earn $10 million. Or maybe if you got plenty with $2 million, you want to give away half, you can do that. But you got to earn substantially more. So if you're not doing it for just yourself, you're doing it for others. What would this world be like if people had a goal of giving away $1 million a year? A little different than what it is now. So the BS that rich people are greedy doesn't hold water with me. It may hold out a while, but you have to ask yourself your question. Are you going to be greedy if you get rich? I don't think so. Money's going to make you more of what you already are. If you're really greedy, money will allow you to be greedy. If you're a jerk, money will allow you to be a bigger jerk. If you're really kind and generous, money will allow you to be more kind and generous. Very simple. And the third reason to get rich is for, and this is the big one, this is what I'm working on right now, who you have to become in virtue, in trait, and in character, in order to be successful enough in any arena to create wealth from that arena. In other words, your mindset and your character. You know, literally, if you want to lead a wonderful life, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to be successful, okay? You're going to have to be as, because there's a saying that says, fortunately or unfortunately, you take yourself with you wherever you go. If the surest way to be successful financially is to be a successful person, a person who has successful character and trait. Everybody thinks, I want to be financially more endowed. I want to do better financially. We all think that for sure. That's great. But we also, every one of us wants to be proud of ourselves. Not from an ego sense, but from a truly spiritual place that says, this, I became a good person. I became the person that I wanted to be in character and in trait. I became a person of integrity, of confidence, of inner power. I have inner peace. I am loving. I am compassionate. I am accepting. I am a good, good person. I feel good about who I am, okay? And so literally, one of the things that I'm working on right now is, who is Harv? And I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier working on that now that I know that that is coupled with the wealth, because your income and your wealth will only grow to the extent that you do. My message to everyone here is your inner world creates your outer world. First work on the roots. The fruits will take care of themselves, okay? You plant corn roots, you're going to get corn fruits. This is very simple, or vegetables. You know, you plant apple roots, you're going to get apple fruits. You don't have to think about that. The universe creates it naturally. I urge you to work on the most important element, which is who you are in character and in trait and in virtue. And then you will watch the money just begin to flow to you very easily, because in both mindset and character, you will be a person who is successful, and that means you'll be successful in every area that you get involved in, including your children, including your relationships, including your business, and including the people that work with you, both in contract work and in trade work and supply, and your employees. And in the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, you know, you're going to look back, but you're not going to say, how much money did I make? That's going to be a part of it. You're going to say, who did I become? Who am I right now? You know, was I the person that I could have been? Am I happy with myself? And so I urge everyone to begin to work on that right now.
Harv, as always, you're fantastic. And how could anyone not listen to you and be, you know, inspired and feel enthusiastic? And one of the secret to, if there is a secret, is just the enthusiasm that you put into your work. And so if everyone leaves this interview and even just amps that up a little bit and follows the direction that's been given on this interview, then I can't imagine them not getting extraordinary results.
Well, I appreciate that very much. You know, my last word is for everyone is to go out there and help 10 times the number of people that you're helping now. Solve problems for 10 times the number. If you're helping 100 people a month, you know, whatever you're doing, make your goal to help 1,000 people a month. Then you're going to feel good about it spiritually, you're going to feel good about it contributively, and you're going to make a frickin' fortune.
Absolutely. So thanks, and to all our listeners, if you want to recommend this interview to anyone that you feel would benefit from it, go to geniusnetwork.com, and you can get more copies of this interview and recommend it to other people. So thank you.
Hello, this is Joe Polish. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview. I hope you found it very useful. Please give me your feedback on all of the interviews that you listen to. I'd love to hear your feedback so we can always deliver a great program for you. Our website is www.joepolish.com, and we also have a Joe Polish Recommends section, so you can take a lot of the ideas and concepts that you hear on my Genius Network interview series and apply them to your business and find vendors and resources. You can go to joepolish.com to find that information and click on the Joe Polish Recommends section. And also, if you would like to find out about more interviews and invest in more useful Genius Network series interviews, go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks, and eat your competition alive.